All right, traveling Everbank Field, the traveling Jaguars today. Studios, we're at the Grove Hotel in, I'm not quite sure where, England at this point, because everyone I ask tells me something different. According to my little weather app on the phone, we're in Hunton Bridge, where it's currently 54 degrees. And was only supposed to get up to about 48 today. Actually, gorgeous day.
It was. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, when you wake up, it was bluebird skies.
Yes.
The sun was out. It warmed up very quick. And much like Bill Belichick was talking about last weekend when he was talking to the press about weather, he said just wait 15 minutes and the weather forecast will change. Well, out here, wait 15 minutes and the weather changes. Not the weather forecast, but the weather itself.
Correct. It was nice for a large part of the day right now. I don't know if it's just gloomy because it's getting dark outside or rain's coming or whatever the case. I'll tell you this. Yesterday, I got on the bus. They had some buses going into the West End of London right around 4 o'clock. I actually wandered down from my room. And I said, you know, what's the best way? I went to the concierge. What's the best way to get into the city? I want to go exploring. Tony told me I had to go exploring.
Yes, I did.
I don't stay in my hotel room. He did. Thank you, Tony. And you got to be proud of me, Tony. I got out on my own and ventured into the beautiful West End of London. And so the guy goes, there are buses that are going to leave like in 2 minutes. I'm not dressed for, you know, several hours outside. So I ran upstairs, got changed. One of the buses hadn't left it. It was empty. And I get on the bus yesterday. We take the trip down there. Pitch black. I mean, I'm disoriented still at this point in time. And I'm thinking, it's like, is it 9 at night? Have I gotten the hours backwards? Do we subtract 5 hours, add 5 hours? And by 5:15, it was pitch black outside here. And, that's just the way it is, I guess, this time of year.
Yeah. It's very, very different. You know, the weather out here, it never gets bitter cold this time of year. And so it's amazing in that the temperature fluctuations from daytime to nighttime usually only are about 10 to 15
yeah.
degrees, you know, in the last 10 degrees mostly. You know, so daytime high, let's say 55, and at night it gets down to like 45, 46. You know, it doesn't have those wide swings like we can see where it gets, you know, 80 in the daytime, and all of a sudden it gets down into the 40s at night.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of unique in that way. But it is a very... It is a very kind of northeastern weather, you know, fall weather, you know, where it's kind of gray, gloomy, you know, and occasionally you get that sun coming out. I remember last year when we were here, we almost got stuck an extra day when we were in London because of some type of tropical thingy that was coming. And overnight we had like 50, 60 mile an hour winds. Unfortunately, it calmed down enough to where we were able to get out of London last year. But that's kind of typical. You can have these crazy fall, you know, I don't want to say hurricanes because they're not a hurricane, but they're some type of fall tropical storm that can come down and hit the islands.
Yeah, well, I tell you, we hear about London fog all the time, too. In the city last night, it was absolutely gorgeous walking around. And it was bus into the city, then it was taxi, train, taxi back to the Grove. And that last stretch, pea soup, man. You couldn't see three feet in front of you, and these guys are still going a thousand
miles an hour. Night last year when we came and we were staying, you know, I think we were south of the city of London last year at a different place, and now we're, I think, northwest of the city, my geography is
correct. I know we're
correct.
North. I don't know northwest, but north, somewhere north.
Yeah, I think we're northwest. So the first night, there was an appearance that a bunch of the guys were doing last year at Nike Town, and so, you know, hop on the bus, and I'm going down there, I'm talking as well, and so jump on the bus, and you're going to London, and, you know, you can't wait to see the skyline as you approach, and it was just like you were talking about. I mean, the fog was as thick as all get out. You couldn't see anything, and you were just like, I mean, the wind was sucked out of you, because you're like, man, you were so looking forward to seeing a skyline, you know, to seeing what it looks like, to see what London actually is, and then all you could see was, you know, what was right next to the road, and that was it.
Yeah,
like, what a downer.
You told me your kid's big into Harry Potter, right?
Big time.
Right, and I'm aware of Harry Potter, whatever. I understand the popularity.
Oh, I've seen all the movies.
I haven't seen one
of them.
I haven't read any of the books.
Most of them.
And on the bus ride, we must have had three or four instances of this is where this was filmed and this is where that was filmed. So from that standpoint, those kind of landmarks, they were all over the place. I didn't make it anywhere near Buckingham Palace or any of that.
You got to go see that. When we go into London, you got to go see Buckingham Palace, you know, Big Ben, the bridge, the River Thames. You got to go see all that because that is truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Saturday is going to be a busy day. though. I mean, Saturday is going to be kind of the day. You got the fan rally going on, right?
Which is at Wembley Stadium this year. Last year, it was actually at the square in downtown London.
Which would be awesome.
It was great because, you know, on the way there, you're actually driving by the palaces and everything.
Right, all the landmarks that you want to see.
Exactly. So it was really cool last year.
So I don't know geographically how far. Do you know how far Wembley is from that kind of area?
If I remember correctly, from that area to drive-wise, I mean, because taking the buses from downtown to Wembley for the game, it was like 20, 30 minutes by bus.
Okay.
You know, if I remember right.
Well, they've got the fan rally. I know Fulham's playing. And I know a lot of Jaguar fans, maybe some players are going to head over there as well. I know, for instance, the Ancient City edition of the Bold City Brigade, the St. Augustine edition, is sending some members over, and they're going to see the game on Saturday. You also have the UK/Ireland chapter of the Bold City Brigade hosting kind of their own fan party on Saturday night. And then you got all the sightseeing. I know Tom and Joe, for instance, are doing the whole Beatles tour on Saturday. They're going to take some kind of Beatles tour, do the Abbey Road walk.
Yeah, the Abbey Road walk. You got to get your picture taken crossing the road.
Right.
You
know, which one gets to take his shoes off, I think, is the question. Because only one of them gets to go barefoot on that walk. But, so there's a lot to do, and then we have, you know, somewhat limited time to get it all in. Oh yeah, there's a football game to prepare for as well. Players had the day off today, but doing a lot of community service stuff, which a lot of them do on Tuesdays anyway, just because they're off. That's a very busy day. Typically, it's not something we talk about a ton.
Yeah, a lot of those events that the players do on the day off, their league events, you know, the NFL Play 60 program where they have a bunch of kids and then they have coaching clinics to help expand the game further here into the UK to teach people that would like to learn more about football that can in turn teach the youth over here. And the NFL is obviously trying to grow the product, and one of the ways of growing that product is not just carrying games over here, but bringing instruction and bringing, you know, that one-on-one interaction with the players and coaches.
And they're also, they've split them up into four groups as far as this goes, and all this is done, by the way. They did it all, while all of you were sleeping back in Jacksonville, but a lot of, the NFL has its ties to the military that they like to strengthen at every opportunity, so various members of the Jags are visiting with various members of the British Armed Services, visiting a veterans hospital, for instance, and stuff like that. We saw yesterday, I came on with you, Tony, and, Jessica and Spice, and just talked about, you know, I didn't know what was going to go on. When you read there's going to be kind of like a walk-through stretching session, I was like, wow, right off the plane, these guys are going to do something on the field. And really, they have an indoor practice tent kind of thing set up for them and a practice field. We tweeted out some pictures of that if you happen to check our Twitter timelines. But they did all the football stuff inside. I just probably stretching, making sure they're getting the kinks out, coming off a long plane flight. And then they probably had, I don't know, 130-ish members of the military and various Jaguar fan groups. And they
Union Jacks?
Yeah, the Union
Jacks. Jacks was a big, big part of that.
Union Jacks, the Bold City Brigade chapter, all those guys were out here, and they did a big, you know, basically went down the line and shook all their hands, signed autographs for as long as they wanted to. So,
which is a great thing.
Yeah, it was a very cool thing.
It's a great thing, and you know, it was amazing because when we checked into the hotel, and, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth trying to figure out where everything is going to be at, you know, where this room was going to be at, where the coach's room was at, and I was getting, you know, film to study and all that kind of stuff to get ready for TV last night and such. And, you know, so as part of that process, you know, you're back and forth across the hotel, and all of a sudden all these Jaguar fans are checking in this one area. I'm like, where did they come from?
Right.
Did they have their own, you know, charter flight over here, or were they on the plane and I just didn't see them? Because the plane we were on is absolutely huge.
Unbelievable.
You could have had 50 people on that plane and never knew they were on it.
Sure.
That's how big the plane was. You know, and then all of a sudden, then I heard that it was, you know, the Union Jacks, a lot of the UK Jaguar fans and fan clubs. And I, first of all, what a great show of support from the Jaguars to that group and inviting them out for that. Because, you know, there's a lot of NFL teams that really have a closed-door policy and won't even let anybody take a peek at anything, whether it be stride and stretch or any kind of practice. And the Jaguars have welcomed it with open arms. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Shad Khan because he understands that, look, you've got to be able to globalize your product and be able to reach the fans as part of that globalization. But also, you have to give a lot of credit to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, because, you know, there's a lot of coaches and general managers I don't know if Shad Khan said, hey, look, this is going to happen whether you like it or not. But it seems, and by all appearances from talking to Dave and Gus, that they're all on board with it.
Gus has the kind of personality that he is a perfect fit for that. He did the We Believe in Victory thing yesterday. Like, they asked him to, and he goes, come on, really? And they kind of goaded him into doing it. And then 2 seconds later, he was going full bore, you know, and was really into it. You heard tons of chants of Duval out there at practice. It was pretty cool.
But it's cool because, you know, there's a lot of coaches like Bill Belichick and all these guys that, you know, everything in football to them is super secret. You know, it's top secret CIA level stuff. And look, we can't let anybody see what we do. We can't let any information out. And this is a very transparent organization. And it's so refreshing because, hey, look, I've been involved in this game for 26 years. It ain't rocket science and there ain't no secrets.
Right.
Secret is getting good football players and playing good ball. You know, and so for coaches to act like Bill Belichick, it drives me nuts. And it's so refreshing to be around an organization that is very open and transparent with the fans and with the media. And to me, it's so nice to have. And we don't really understand. And look, I know it's the only team that we've ever covered. You've covered.
Right.
But for me, having been around a few different organizations and a few different coaches, it is unbelievable, and it's really special for us to have the ability, for me and you as media guys, to be able to have the access that we do, and then their open-door policy that allows us in to do what we do.
I mean, I don't work for the team, right?
Point
being, they open up the stadium to do my radio show, our radio show here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM, and give us crazy amounts of access. It's different during the season, but certainly in the off season, the GM stops by every week. I mean, you don't get that in most places unless he's doing his own kind of radio show that he's signed up to do. So pretty cool. All right, I tell you what, we'll head back to the States in a minute. Tony's got the fan feedback question today. We'll tell you what that is coming up shortly. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Lagerman, Tom Fridley, Joe Fortunato here in the UK, and we got Fat Tony and Lauren Brooks back in the States. Jaguars today continuing on this Tuesday morning, is it? Or is it afternoon? Right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. You know it all the way from the UK. I think that's the best way to do it, Jeff. Jaguars today live from the UK kind of covers the whole thing. By the way, I'm on the bus last night, and the first busload goes, and it's jammed with players and staff and whoever's going down into the city. And so for a minute there, I thought I was going to be the only one. And then Telvin Smith came out. I guess the linebackers were going out with Leroy Reynolds at his birthday yesterday. So they're having dinner together, which is nice. And Mercedes and a group of guys were going exploring downtown. So I'm sitting up front near, they got a tour guide on the bus to tell you some landmarks as you go, and the bus driver. And so.
And you know what? That's the way it is with every bus. Every charter bus over here has a driver. And then like a guide / navigator. I don't know if you'll be, whenever you're around, just take a look at all the other different buses. They're all like that.
Okay. All right. Well, regardless.
Let me ask you this real quick. How many times did you try to get on the bus from
the
right side?
Yeah, or the wrong side, as the case may be. Yeah, it takes you a minute to figure it out. And I'm telling you, the first intersection we came to, something, my mind just didn't process it. I couldn't tell you exactly where the car was that was coming and the bus was moving, and I had that reaction like, oh, don't pull, you're pulling out right in front of traffic. And of course they weren't pulling out in front of traffic.
And you gotta make sure when you're walking around.
Yeah, it's right, left, right, as opposed to left, right, left.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, you wanna double check the right side or you're gonna get clipped. So we're on the bus and she said something, in fact, first time here. I said, yeah, first time coming to Europe. I was trying to say, you know, to the UK, but I haven't been anywhere else. And the driver goes, oh, we're not part of Europe. We're the UK. And he starts going on about it. We're not going to have any stinking Euro currency.
I know how that is.
And all this stuff. And I said, yeah, well, look, you are part of the land masses that comprise Europe. You are part of it. Much like we may, just because NAFTA was in existence doesn't mean we're Mexican. We are still part of North America, however, in the United States.
And see, you could draw a similar, I guess you could say, comparison to when people say we're from North Florida or we live in North Florida versus any other part of Florida. So when people ask you, where do you live at? You say Jacksonville. They say, where is that? Do you ever say Florida? You say North Florida.
Well, it depends, I guess.
Most people say North Florida because there is a very definite distinction. Just like where I grew up, we grew up in Virginia, and people say, oh, you went to West Virginia. Whoa, 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 whoa. you know, we don't like to claim any part of West Virginia in Virginia.
Well, that West Virginia is a completely separate state, though. If someone were to say to you, you're from Florida, it would be correct, right? The point was, he was having none of it.
No.
And he was all about, we're not losing our nationality and all that.
And it's amazing, too, when you walk around London, there are two very distinct accents. And I can't tell you exactly why, but I had it explained to me last year, and I've totally forgot exactly why. But there are two very different accents. One of them is nearly impossible to understand. It's like trying to understand Gus Bradley back when he was in Minnesota, because one of the European accents, it's real thick. You know, it's very thick, and you have to ask people sometimes to repeat the question or repeat what you just said. And then the other accent is actually very easy to understand. I think it was the bus tour guide last year explained that to me.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's not like Virgin Atlantic's going to hire ugly. Is it stewardesses still the right word? Flight attendants.
Flight
right?
attendants.
Flight attendants. But
yeah,
they may have sounded a little bit more attractive saying Jaguar than they would have otherwise.
It's actually when they say it, it makes Gus Bradley, when he says it, sounds actually more right, because when Gus says Jaguars, he says
Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Jeg. Yeah, Jaguars.
It's like beg,
right.
Jeg.
Right.
Jaguars. And in here in the UK, they say Jaguars.
Jaguars. Jaguars. All right, let's say hello to Fat Tony. Fat Tony, yesterday I know you were asking people where they felt the Jags got better. And since we weren't with you for the majority of the show, what was kind of the feedback that you got on that?
You know, it was interesting listening to the fans out there talking about where they felt like the team got better in the game yesterday, and mostly it was Allen Hurns. You got a lot of that. They still feel like they're seeing development from a guy like JT Thomas in the game yesterday as well. But outside of that, not a whole lot of people pointing out any growth for this team. And it's interesting. That was the question we asked yesterday. I know we want to get Jeff's feedback on that as well. Today, the Tom Bush family of dealerships, they asked Jaguar fans, what drives you? We're asking them, what grade would you assign Blake Bortles for his performance on Sunday? And we'd also like a grade for the season to this point for Blake. And I think both questions are kind of intertwined, because I don't know that you can watch the game from Blake Bortles on Sunday and see him taking steps forward. Maybe Jeff disagrees. I'd be interested to hear what he has to say about it. And what kind of grade would you give him? The stats look good, guys. I mean, 247, two touchdowns, just the one pick. I think there was a lot more going on behind those stats on Sunday.
Let's start, Jeff. What do you think the team, were there some areas you felt they got better?
Offensive line. I mean, offensive line, I thought, got better once again. I mean, that's three straight weeks to where they've been able to run the football pretty much at will. If the score had kind of dictated it differently, that offensive line would have once again ran the ball for probably 185 yards. Now, Luke Bowanko had a tremendous game. Jock McClendon played very well in place of the injured Brandon Linder. I thought Luke Jokel did some really nice things. He had one bad pass pro. It was the very end of the game. He ended up on his butt. But for the rest of the game, for the most part, he's done well. He still needs to clean up some technique things. But the offensive line is the trend that you can identify from the beginning of the year to now. They've taken baby step, baby step, baby step, and now they're starting to take big steps and getting much better. Luke Bowanko now, I'm telling you, Luke Bowanko is a really good football player. And I'm not trying to say that because he's a Virginia guy.
But it makes
because
you happy that he is.
I mean, it does. But, you know, the Jaguars got him in the sixth round. Last week, the Cincinnati Bengals had a rookie starting center, and his name was Bodine. I think it was Russell Bodine is his name. And they got him in the fourth round. Luke Bowanko is way better than Bodine. And then if you look at the Dallas Cowboys starting center, Travis Frederick. Okay, he was a first-round pick. Good guy, you know, kind of tough, you know, kind of strong in a short area. Can't get to the second level, can't pull like a Luke Bowanko. So you got to actually say that Luke Bowanko is definitely going to be better long-term than Frederick, and might be equal right now just because he's more athletic.
Which is pretty amazing. We've talked about how well Dave Caldwell has done fifth round on with the draft the last couple of years. And that includes undrafted free agents as well, but Luke Bowanko a part of that.
Well, and we may see this week, to continue on this offensive line thing, Tyler Shatley. If Brandon Linder cannot go...
What are you hearing, by the way?
I haven't heard anything yet. Okay. I talked to Brandon, you know, after the game for a little bit, and he said it's just extremely sore, and he had no idea whether he'd be able to play this week. I didn't ask him that. But he was definitely, you know, I'll tell you this, when something fell on the ground, it's not like he could bend over and reach that arm out to pick it up. He had to, like, do a complete squat and just let his arm hang down by his side to pick it up.
Okay.
Which, you know, what does that mean? I don't know. But, I mean, we'll know more tomorrow when they practice and you get a practice injury report. But I would be surprised if Brandon Leonard plays this week. Just personally, my opinion. When you have a guy that gets knocked out of the game like that, and he's a tough guy, because Brandon Leonard's a tough guy. And it's an issue that you could tell that had bothered him at some point before, because you notice that black band that he had on his left shoulder on game day, that black band is actually part of a shoulder harness system that guys wear. And what it is designed to do is there's a band that goes around the arm, around the bicep, tricep, and then there's almost a system to where it attaches to a harness that's attached, well, that is part of your torso. And that keeps the arm from expanding too far away from the body and getting it in a weakened position. I know, because that's what I wore. I've had both shoulders operated on like three different times. So I know what that harness is all about. So for him to come out of the game and having hurt a shoulder that he's had some type of aid on for a previous injury or a pre-existing condition is something to watch and is of concern.
Yeah, especially considering he's been the guy that you universally praise as the best, most consistent guy in the offensive line all year.
By far, the best offensive lineman all year. But I'm excited if he does not play, not because he's not going to play, but because we may see Tyler Shatley, the undrafted rookie from Clemson, who the Jaguars were going to try to put on the practice squad at once they kind of were coming to their final roster decisions, and then found out, first of all, they thought he played very well. His last preseason game was tremendous. And then they found out other teams were going to claim this guy, so they had to keep him on the active roster. He played really good football at the end of the preseason, and if he does play this week, he will be the starter. And then they'll probably keep Jock McClendon as the swing guy to play center and guard backup for the game.
Beyond that, Alan Hearns mentioned by Tony there, certainly had a very productive game, and I thought bailed out. I don't know if bailed out is the right word.
No. That's the right word.
Is that the right word?
That's the right word, yes.
He made plays in tight coverage on Sunday, and I thought, you know, nice to see him kind of reemerge, kind of showing you he's not a flash in the pan, you know, because he hit so quick and then, all right, where did he go for a little while? And to see him reassert himself on Sunday, I thought was pretty big.
The thing that he did that really was one of his strengths, and he had a little bit of an issue with earlier in the year, is I remember talking to Jerry Sullivan, because, you know, after watching film of Alan Hearns when he was at the University of Miami, I came away basically saying that, look, he does everything pretty good, but he doesn't do anything that I viewed as great. And so I went to Jerry Sullivan after they drafted him, and I looked at the film, and I said, hey, Jerry, tell me something that Alan Hearns does that's exceptional. He said, catching the ball away from his body with strength. Well, you remember the little kind of period that he had where he dropped a couple balls, and he's wide open, and you're like, what in the world's going on with Alan Hearns? That's the last guy I expected to have that issue with. Well, now we saw it. You know, he's comfortable. He's playing well in this past game against the Bengals. We saw multiple instances where he's catching the ball, contested ball, with strength and power with his hands. And then he did bail out Blake Bortles a couple different times. The one throw that he made for the touchdown where he kind of came back and there was one guy in coverage, and I can't remember, was it Terrence Newman or Leon Hall? I don't remember who it was. But anyway, Alan Hearn comes back and he makes the play. That's not a bad throw by Blake Bortles, because that's one-on-one. It's a calculated risk. You make that throw and hope your wide receiver goes up and makes a play, and that's exactly what Alan Hearns did. The second touchdown by Alan Hearns, Blake Bortles had no business throwing that ball at all. None. Underneath corner, over the top safety, double coverage, never make that throw, and Alan Hearns bailed him out. Bailed him out big time. And then he makes another catch in the middle of the field, and I think it was George Ioka, the safety, was right there, and Alan Hearns somehow or another took that one away from him. You know, so great job by Alan Hearns.
All right, we'll talk more about Blake and the game he had and where he stands right now. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Bush Family Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight today, assigning Blake a grade for his play against Cincinnati and really to the season up to this point, you're welcome to do that. You can tweet us at MD underscore 1010XL at Logs56, L-O-G-S-56, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren, and of course weigh in on the Facebook.com/Jaguars Today Facebook page, Matt. And we'll open up the phones for the first time as well. International calling rates do not apply. 641-1010. Of course, unless you're calling from the UK back to the States to be connected to the UK to talk to Jeff Logman, here on Jaguars Today, you're welcome to do that as well. 904-641-1010. Phone lines open to you when we return live from the UK. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Tom Fridley, Joe Fortunato back in the States, Fat Tony and Lauren Brooks. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today is here in the UK. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Smiling Tom's rocking out to little Pink Floyd right there. He plays the meanest air guitar this side of Joe Fortunato. Fortunato's
here. Joe plays air bass.
He does play air bass. Yeah. That's a good point. Fortunato's here only in his bobblehead glory right now. I don't know where he's running off to. I sent out a Twitter picture of his bobblehead in profile because somebody get a Joe Fortunato bobblehead that has the correct radio station that carries the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, we need to get some paint.
Logman just wanted to go desecrate the bobblehead.
Well, what's funny? When you brought that up, my first reaction was to get my pocket knife and then to scrape off that logo.
That would work.
Then I realized you can't travel with a pocket knife and I don't have it on.
That's a good point.
Feel a little naked right now.
That is a good point, really. So I need to know, not that you need it against me, but I need to know that Jeff is armed at all times and we're in our Everbank studios for Jaguars Today. If you want to get in, 641-1010, before we get to Blake Bortles last night, I take the bus, right? And I take the bus down to the West End of London. I take a cab to what's called Euston Station. Everybody who listens to this program, Tony, you know, people used to get on my case all the time saying the Euston Texans, right? Not the Houston Texans.
Houston.
With the H.
Houston.
So you're saying it kind of with a Y.
Y-O-U-S-T-O-N. I just dropped the H off of it, right? With a Y. And so I've really gotten to the point now where I'm very particular. I say Houston Texans, or at least I try to, because I know it's the right way to say it. So the guy last night goes, oh, you just get on at Euston Station. And so when I said it back to him, I said, so let me have this straight. I go from the West End to Houston Station. He goes, no, you know, no H, and it's not even spelled with an H. It's E-U. So, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing, and he thinks I'm just a poorly spoken Yank. But so I get on the train at what is Euston Station, taking it to Watford something or other, Watford Junction, right? And it's a very short train ride, despite the fact it was a bus ride of about 45 minutes into the city. 5 minute cab ride, maybe a 10 minute train trip, and then another 5 minute cab ride back. So, you know, pretty straight shot. And I'm on there, and I've got, like a Jaguar, windbreaker on, right? And the guy says, you know, you're in town for the game. I said, oh yeah. He goes, and I thought he said, oh, I'm a Union Jack fan. I said, I'm like, thinking, the flag? What, you know, I said, excuse me? He says, Jack fan. And I said, oh, and you know, I just pretended at that point, like I knew what he was talking about, and I figured I would get the context, and he starts going on about how they benched Geno, and I said, oh, a Jets fan, you're a Jets fan. So he tells me the story. I said, how do you become a Jets fan over in Great Britain? He goes, well, I watched a football game, an American football game, and I was fascinated by it. He said, quite frankly, he finds soccer, and he called it soccer now, mind you. He said, it can be really boring. You know, you get that nil-nil draw. And he said, at least in American football, you get was one or two spectacular plays a game that you just marvel at the athleticism and the ability to pull this all together. And so he said he decided, I'm going to watch a game. The next game I watch, whoever loses, I'm going to be a fan of that team, so I can't be accused of picking a front runner, right? Mm-hmm. So he's watching Tennessee versus Pittsburgh, and the Titans beat the Steelers. So he becomes a Steeler fan. He decides, I'm going to be a Steeler fan. They go on to win the Super Bowl that year. And he said, he goes, no one would believe that BS. And you know, he set it out for me. And so he decided then, when they hired Rex Ryan, that new coach, new atmosphere, I'll become a Jets fan. I said, brother, I've been there.
Might be time to watch another game and pick the loser of that one and become a fan of them.
So check this out. I drop Logman's name before his time, unfortunately.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He goes, speaking of the Jags, he goes, it looks like you have a quarterback. He goes, I certainly hope we end up with the pick ahead of you because we need a quarterback. Talking about the Jets, I said, well, look, regardless, the Jags are not taking a quarterback. I said, possibly if they're ahead of you in the pecking order, they could trade with a team who wants a QB. So then I asked him his opinion, how would you feel as a Jets fan if they drafted Jameis Winston? No record, nothing. Had never heard of the guy.
Right.
And he said, yeah, I just don't follow college football. I thought, wow. I mean, I get it that you don't follow college football, but if you're an NFL football fan, I mean, he is a figure that's been much discussed in American sports. And I just found it, you know, we all think that everything happens and everyone just, because the internet exists and Sure. Everyone knows everything. And I found that pretty interesting. He had never heard of him.
Yeah, but draw the comparison of the English Premier League in soccer. And then they have all these other leagues, you know, over here in Europe. Okay? But only everybody follows, you know, that's not in Europe, follows the Premier League pretty much everywhere else in the world, I think. But you don't follow all those other leagues, right?
Right.
You know, which basically those leagues are the farm system for the English Premier League. So, I mean, it's kind of similar there.
Tony probably does, right, Tony?
It's funny I watch some La Liga and Bundesliga and that kind of stuff. I do.
Tony's that guy.
He's that guy?
I'm sure there are some people, citizens of the UK, who know who Jameis Winston is, too.
But it's interesting that a couple years ago, me and Johnny Dineen, who is on this trip, and he does, he's Frank's spotter.
Yes. You know,
for play-by-play.
Yeah.
And he also works for Everbank, a great guy. And me and him, every time we're on the road, we always try to go out and have a glass of wine, have a steak somewhere at a nice restaurant. And I think we were in Seattle last year as part of that trip, and we saddle up to the bar, you know, and order dinner, and the guy's sitting next to us, and he's by himself, and we introduce ourselves, talking to the guy, and he was a great guy, and he was a UK citizen, and huge NFL fan. And every year, he would take a trip to the United States to an NFL city to watch a game and have, you know, like make a whole weekend out of it, make a whole trip out of it, and go eat, you know, eat at the best restaurant, go to the football game, and then spend some time around that NFL city seeing the sights and such. And a huge NFL fan. And I mean, it was interesting to hear his perspective on it. And, you know, the comment that really stuck with me, and this was because we knew that we were getting ready to go to London last year. He said that I love coming over here to watch the NFL. He said, but the best part is coming over here for the food.
How about that?
Yeah.
Even he admitted it.
yeah.
The guy on the train last night said he liked the fact that he felt so safe when he came to the States to see the Jets-Bucks game in the Meadowlands, and I said, really? He said, well, you know, he wasn't wearing, you know, he was wearing Jets gear, so he blended in, but he said, oh, yeah, there were Buccaneer fans there, and everyone's very nice, and I'm like, the New York Jets is the team. We're talking about the same team here.
Well, new stadium, higher ticket price. You could draw
I think he might have been talking, I don't know, how long has that one been in? He may have been talking about the new one or the old one. But
the new what?
The old Meadowlands or the
No, but even the ticket prices at the old Meadowlands, I'm saying is that in today's day and age, it's amazing because you go back to the old days at Philadelphia,
yeah.
the Vet.
Right.
The old days at Shea. Even the old Candlestick Park. You know, I mean, now that the ticket prices have really bumped up, I mean, a lot of that element is not there anymore.
Well, he said, look, you come over here, go to a soccer match.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, there are certain areas of England, you just don't wear the opposing team's colors. I mean, to me, it sounded like South Central, you know, but I don't think they're not packing guns over here. Maybe, I don't know, nightsticks or something. I don't know what they've got, but, he, you know, and as I was walking around downtown on the West End, I assume that's downtown. Anyway, there were signs in the pub windows, no team colors. Can't wear them in this pub from any team.
Really?
And I almost wondered, because I'm wearing Jag stuff, would they let me in? But I think they're obviously talking about, they don't want rival factions of, the soccer fans, showing up and causing
He might have felt differently about watching an NFL game in his safety at an NFL game if he went to watch a game at the old Candlestick with the 49ers against the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
I mean, those games right there,
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's get some phone calls in international-wise and all. 641-1010, Jaguars Today, live from the UK. Let's welcome in Dean here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hi, Dean.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, where you guys are at.
Had
to compliment 1010, you know, on the wall-to-wall coverage. You guys are just doing a fantastic job, but I guess it was some question yesterday, you know, some of the objectivity, you know, 1010's the flagship station of the Jags, but I'd like to get, you know, Mike's opinion and Jeff's opinion. I mean, where are we at? I mean, obviously we moved up the time frame with Blake Bortles starting, I mean, 2015, you know, we got the AFC South next year and the AFC East. I mean, I'm really encouraged. I'm a Jags season ticket holder. I mean, I do the Jags and the Gators as well. But I'm encouraged with the team, but where do you really objectively see us going as far as getting out of the abysmal bottom feeder of the AFC and moving up and being a playoff team, either wild card or division champion in the AFC South?
All right, thank you, Dean. I don't know, you know, I don't want to waste a lot of time getting into specifics that may be something we could talk about in the future in terms of objectivity. I'll say this. I've never felt the slightest hint of anyone trying to influence what I've said or how I say it or my opinion on the team, right? I've never had anyone come to me on the team pre Jaguars affiliation with 1010 or post Jaguars affiliation with 1010 and tried to skew anything. There have been a couple occasions, really more so before we were hooked up with them, where they wanted some clarification. What was it you said? And I explained, hey, here's what I said. Okay, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I've never had any of that happen. But that being said, Jeff, what do you think about, you know, what he's talking about? Is Blake Bortles the, you know, the franchise cornerstone that a lot of people want him to be?
Well, you hope so, and that's to be determined. You know, and what is this year, and what does this mean to this franchise? I think when they came out and you start so many different rookies on the offensive line with Bowenko and Linder, and then you commit to all these rookie wide receivers, and then a few games in you commit to a rookie quarterback, and then you look at the defense now to where, you know, last week they committed to a Jeremiah George, they committed to playing Telvin Smith as a starting nickelbacker, now they've signed Kerry Fort off of the practice squad of the Cincinnati Bengals, a former New Orleans Saints draft pick, and I think fourth round or fifth round. Now you can clearly see what the intentions of the brass, so to speak, of the Jaguars are. And that's keep building, keep building, keep building, and fight through the tough times of the first and second year so that you can expect results in years 3, 4, 5, and beyond.
It's how realistic is it to be a wild card contender? Nobody can guarantee anything making the playoffs for any team, for the most part. How realistic is it in your mind to be a wild card contender in 2015?
I think it's a possibility. A lot of that depends on the quarterback. You know, if Blake Bortles comes out next year and starts playing consistently like what we saw against the San Diego Chargers, and where he was going toe-to-toe with Phillip Rivers, and then the next week's game, I'm trying to think of what game that was, where he played pretty well the first two games.
Pittsburgh.
You know, if you get those kind of results on a consistent level and he's able to take it up another step, then yes, you can expect this team to compete for a wild card spot, because I don't think that this division is a great division. You know, so when do they compete for division titles? I think year four under this regime, because then all of a sudden you've got a contention of rookies that are in that, starting to get into the prime of their careers, which is years, you know, 3 and 4. And so in some cases year 2. And so, but that's okay.
And spending free agent money.
And spending free agent money in the process. But, you know, my expectations this year going into the season, you know, at best 6 or 7 wins. And then when they committed to everything, when I say everything, the wide receiver group, you know, playing every rookie pretty much that they have, and then committing to the quarterback, I went, okay, 6 or 7 wins. I mean, my expectation then dropped to that 4 and 5 win range. But you know, that's part of the process, you know. And I really hope that the owner, Shad Khan, has a lot of patience and understanding that what they have committed to is really something that no other team in the league that I can remember in recent memory has ever done. They just haven't done it. You know, even you look at all the expansion teams, Cleveland, Houston, the Jaguars, Carolina Panthers, none of those teams committed to a youth movement like this team has. Now, at some point, you have to get out of, okay, we're getting better, to now, okay, now the wins are starting to show up. And I think next year the wins have to show up for Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. Otherwise, patience will start wearing thin, as it should.
All right, let's do this. We got Jim on the line. Let's get his question in and maybe answer it on the other side, coming up on the top of the hour here. Jim, welcome to Jaguars Today, live from the UK. How are you? All right, no Jim? All right, thank you. Anyway, try back later at 641-1010. Coming up, we do have this date in football history. Tony will have that for you, as well as the Honda Drive around the NFL. Plenty more live from the UK. Not only us, but...
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. In 1923, George Halas, whose name is on the NFC Championship trophy with the Chicago Bears, picked up an Oorang Indians fumble, ran it back 98 yards for a touchdown. That's right, the Oorang Indians. Sticking with the Bears, in 1973, they set an NFL record when they held the Green Bay Packers to negative 12 yards passing in a game. In 1984, the Seattle Seahawks returned not one, not two, not three, but four interceptions for touchdowns, an NFL record, and a 45-0 win over Kansas City. All of those returns were over 50 yards. And Dallas Cowboys player Nate Newton was arrested in Louisiana November 4th, 2001, after police found 213 pounds of marijuana in a van that he was driving. This date in football history is presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. At Best Fence, the mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home. Your family will feel protected, and you'll breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence. Best Fence provides professional free estimates at your convenience. Call them today at 904-268-1638. That's 268-1638, or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Monday Night Football last night, the New York Giants and Indianapolis Colts wrapped up week 9 of the NFL regular season with the Colts winning 40-24. Andrew Luck went 25 of 46 for 354 yards and 4 touchdowns with no picks. With the win, the Colts improved to 6-3 on the year and hold a 2-game lead over the Houston Texans. Now in the AFC South, Andrew Luck remains the leading passer and touchdown passer in the league. He's about 250 yards clear of Ben Roethlisberger, still there as the leading yardage man in the NFL. He's got 26 touchdowns now in the season, 2 clear of Peyton Manning. The Philadelphia Eagles will be starting a new quarterback on Sunday. Nick Foles left the Eagles game this weekend against the Texans after a collarbone injury that his head coach Chip Kelly yesterday called a crack in his collarbone. Fortunately for Nick Foles, the injury will not require surgery, but he is still expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks recovering. That means that Mark Sanchez will be the team's starting quarterback during that time. The Eagles host the Carolina Panthers on Monday Night Football. And news in the Adrian Peterson felony child abuse case, expected to go to trial in about 4 weeks. Word right now is that Adrian Peterson is expected to reach an agreement to resolve that case soon, pleading no contest. He'll basically get a fine, placed on probation, have to perform 80 hours of community service. But the question then becomes, is the league going to suspend Adrian Peterson for any length of time? He's been technically suspended 8 weeks now with pay. We'll see if the league's going to hand down any kind of suspension for Adrian Peterson when that case does get resolved, which is expected to be soon. Guys?
Yeah, Tony, a couple things. Was that the Nate Newton story? That's the one you were doing, right, on this date in football history?
Yeah.
Right. Did you go to the Super Bowl in Dallas with me? I don't think you did.
No, I didn't.
I saw Nate Newton there. Have you seen Nate Newton in the last, I don't know.
Lost a lot of weight.
Unbelievable. Yeah. He had a stomach like a bypass.
He did gastric bypass.
If you had asked me to guess which former NFL player this was, I could have been here all year guessing who it was. I mean,
Nate the Kitchen Newton.
Yes.
Is now no longer the kitchen.
Right.
He
won the fridge, he won the sink, he was the whole thing. But yeah, he had a lot of dope in the car back in the day. I mean, that's a lot of,
213 pounds. My goodness.
213 pounds, man.
I think he weighs less than that now.
He probably does. It was amazing what he looked like.
Hey, do you think Mark Sanchez, you know, with the Philadelphia Eagles, as much read option concepts as they have, could we see another butt fumble?
Possible. Absolutely. There's no question he's got one in him. He actually played extremely well in the preseason. Now, preseason being what it is, but He really did play well. And, you know, threw a couple of interceptions this week, also threw for a couple of touchdowns and completed a very high percentage of his passes. And good likelihood he may be the guy the rest of the way for Philadelphia. We'll see how fast that broken collarbone heals.
We'll see how he does. And as far as how we have done so far in the show, we got corrected on the English Premier League, which is I'm glad we did.
Thank you, Dorian Sturmelli on Twitter. Appreciate that.
I had made the comment that, you know, the English Premier League is, you know, the kind of the top tier, and then you have different leagues. Well, there's different leagues, I guess, in every country is what he said.
Like the Bundesliga, I guess that's the German equivalent, Tony.
Yeah, that's Germany. La Liga is Spain. That's where Barcelona and Real Madrid are.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Of all the players that play in that league, which league do they want to play in?
The Premier League is the league in soccer. And honestly, with a lot of the other countries' leagues, Bundesliga, La Liga, those types of things, there's a top tier of teams. There's three or four really good teams that don't feed into that. But outside of that, the Premier League poaches a lot of talent.
Okay. I figured so, just because the money's so big at the Premier League. I mean, you look at some of the salaries that these guys get at the Premier League, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of money.
And Tony, the Champions League, I'm looking at Duval Doom tweeting at us, right? That Fulham got relegated to, right?
It's kind of like Championship League.
Championship League.
Yes.
All right. Championship League.
Champions League is the yearly tournament that the top club teams play across Europe.
Okay. I gotcha. Now we're thoroughly caught up, right?
Well, I mean, it just goes to show that, how little we know, and you were making the comment
about
a guy.
The point was, I never heard of Jameis Winston. He was considered himself an NFL fan. By the way, you think about it. In terms of the viability of a franchise in London, well, not going to be any Monday Night Football here.
Well, there already is. Didn't you watch your television last night?
No.
Okay, I was.
My point being, they're not going to host any games at 1:30 kickoff, 1:30 in the AM kickoff.
No, but what I was watching, I was sitting there, and where we're staying at here, at the Grove, it has a detached. I mean, this is like a health club spa kind of a deal. It's a really nice setup. They have a detached spa workout facility. So, you know, as part of, you know, just like the players yesterday go and they do their running and stuff. I said, I'm going to go get a workout in so I can sleep like a baby. So I go and get a workout in, and I get on the elliptical runner, and there's three TVs up there on the wall, and all of a sudden I see a graphic that says Monday Night Football. I'm like, awesome, you know? Soccer.
Yeah. Football.
They have their own version of Monday Night Football.
But Sunday Night Football, like, we got off the plane, whatever time it was. I don't know what the American, when did we get off the plane? Like 9:30? Something like, we landed about 9:30?
Yeah, about 9:30 in the morning.
Okay, something like that. So it's 4:30 in the morning. Didn't even dawn on me, you know, what happened in Sunday Night Football. Last I checked, as I was getting on the plane, was 7-0 Ravens. And then Roethlisberger throws six more touchdowns for the second week in a row. And I don't find out until I see Chris Capello from the BCB UK branch, and he's got his phone. I'm like, give me that. And he goes, you're just checking your fantasy stats, right? Damn right I am. All right? But I wanted to know. And then today I wake up, I had to think, oh, yeah, I got to go find out, because I wasn't making it up last night till the kickoff of our Monday Night Football. Andrew Luck threw four touchdowns in that one. So you could never have a home Monday Night or Sunday Night Football game here, for instance, or Thursday night, right? And that those attractive primetime packages would be very difficult to do, wouldn't it?
It would be hard.
You would think.
I mean, there's a lot of things that would be difficult about having a team permanently stationed over here. And for one is transaction-wise. You know, for example, the Jaguars – you know, had an injury and a couple different injuries, but they wanted to make a roster move. And all of a sudden they're in Cincinnati and they signed Kerry Fort. And that wasn't because, okay, Kerry Fort was there and he was ready to jump on the plane with the Jaguars, because he didn't do that. But trying to get those kind of things done if you were a team in London would be very difficult to do. And I think it would be very difficult to attract free agents to come over here to London and to play.
To the cost of living, Jeff. Do you get paid in American dollars? Do you get paid, you know, seriously?
And what about taxes? Do you pay
international
taxes?
Right. Taxes here as well as the States?
Yeah.
And
you were talking about cost of living. You went by the Golf Pro Shop.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell that story.
I look for a gift shop, you know. Is there a gift shop in the place? And the guy suggested, well, go to the Pro Shop. They have apparel and stuff like that. So walked over there to check out the price to stick a peg in the ground, too. And
what was that, by the way?
It was 100.
You're talking about golf.
The resort rate for staying here, the residence rate, as they call it, is 130 pounds, which is probably roughly $200.
Okay. Play around golf.
Which is not that out of, I mean, if you're going to stay at a resort, you're going to stay at Sawgrass, you're going to pay some cash.
Yeah, that'd buy me a lot of bait.
Understood. But for people who like golf, that wasn't that crazy. And then I said, does that include cart? No, that'll be another 35 pounds. And that includes club rental. So it's like, the rough translation is probably about a $300 round altogether. Mm-hmm. You go to Pebble Beach, you're going to pay a lot more than that in the United States. There are nice places that you can play. But, so I looked, all right, let's take a look at some golf apparel here. Windbreaker. Tom Champion will back me up on this. It was nice. It wasn't a tuxedo. It was not Armani. Okay. Tom, nice windbreaker, right?
It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful piece of clothing, but it's a golf windbreaker.
Absolutely. Nothing more, but it was beautiful.
What do you think that would go for? Something like that.
$150.
$150, right? Yeah. In the States, that's probably what it would go for.
Yeah, for a real nice one. Yeah.
For a real nice one. 420 pounds. Pounds. That's
$600. Man, I could buy enough camouflage to suit me for every season of the year for that.
Unbelievable. Tony, this is not the St. Augustine Shores. Sir.
No, it's really not. No.
It is not Walmart either, where I get most of my golf apparel, which is fine with me. Walmart does a fine job with their golf apparel. 420 pounds, man. I don't know if I'd pay that for my wedding to get married in something. I don't know. That was a little steep for my case. All right, I'll tell you what. We've got to take a time out quickly. We'll come back. We've got phone lines loading up right now. Also have a bunch of Twitter questions for you talking about the Jags in the future as well as this past weekend's game. And we'll get to as many of those as we can. 641-1010 is the number. Thanks for hanging in with us. We're live in the UK. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, along with Fat Tony and Lauren Brooks back stateside. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. No anarchy in the UK yet, but certainly we are Jaguars today live from the United Kingdom. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman here with you on this side of the pond. Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks back on the other side of the pond. We'll get some calls in here momentarily. I shouldn't have brought this up because I don't want you pulling rank on me and getting my room switched because I got the bed of life, bro. I got like the king bed, giant in the middle of the room just for one person. What kind of setup did you have in yours?
I got like two singles. I haven't slept in a single bed, I don't think, since I was a kid. And maybe a few hunting trips I probably slept in a single bed. But they're the comforter, there's no sheets on the bed. They have like the comforters wrapped in a sheet. And so, you know, I'm getting in the room and I'm like, okay, well, I mean, look, compared to where we stayed at last year, which we stayed in a spin-off hotel that the team, because the team had the one hotel completely booked, and so a lot of the staff had to stay at a different hotel, and it was a terrible hotel, terrible.
Okay.
So when we got here, you know, we're staying at the same location as the team, I was like, hey, look, anything's better than what we were at last year, and go to the room, and the room is fantastic, nice bathroom, you know, beautiful grounds here, and you're just loving it. And when I come around the corner in my room, unlike yours, which you're showing me a picture of, I've got two single beds that I think in Europe the single beds are even more narrow than a single bed in America. And so I almost fell out of the bed twice last night just trying to roll over on my side, literally, and caught myself. So tonight I think what I'm going to do is take the nightstand that's between these two little beds and then push them together. And then that way, if I roll to one side, I'm safe, but I could still fall out going the other way.
True.
Or if I rolled over to the other one, I might fall to the carpet between the two beds.
If you were more important to this organization, maybe you'd get a bed like mine. It's the only time I've ever had anything over Logman, and I'm going to enjoy this. So there you go.
Quite all right, though. I can tell you, I slept good last night, and I feel much better today.
All right, there you go. I crashed hard last night. I was up at like 8 in the morning, and hitting up some breakfast. We're not missing any meals here,
no,
brother.
No, you guys definitely
when there's a free chow line, we're going to be there. Let's get our buddy Chris.
Well, let me add this about the food line. You know, the food last year where the team was staying at was pretty good. And this year we're here at the Grove Hotel, it's actually, so what I've had so far has been very good.
Me too.
But did you notice it's like a big island, you know, and they've got all the things around this island that, you know, the fruit and muffins or different condiments. And if you noticed up there, all those condiments, I mean, there's ketchup and hot sauce and little mini things of Skippy peanut butter and Welch's grape jelly. All the things on this counter are all Americanized. And what they did is they actually packed up a bunch of stuff from the States that players and Americans like, and shipped all that stuff over here so that they would have some semblance of American food or American seasoning around all of the other stuff that was provided for them here.
Right. That's the one thing Maurice Jones has been warning me, because they don't put any seasoning in their food. Well, that, we don't have that issue this year, pal. I don't know what he experienced
well,
with the
Raiders. Well, this morning now, they had these, and I've never had a turkey meatball for breakfast.
Those
that turkey meatball
was good?
Very good.
Yeah.
And the scrambled eggs I liked. Pat Cavanaugh, Jaguars.com, did not like it.
They're
he thought
okay.
that they were weak, but to me, I thought they were pretty good. The blueberry muffins were tremendous. And I don't want, I'm just telling you guys, don't pass the word around, because then by the time I get in there in the morning, everybody will have them gone.
Yeah, I've never seen, they had a giant, vat of turkey meatball. I mean, as big as your fist.
No, they were good.
And I've never seen that for breakfast before.
And their version of bacon is much different than our version
it
of
is.
Bacon.
It
you
is.
You know, theirs is like Canadian bacon cut real thin.
Yes.
You know, our version of bacon, is give me bacon.
Right.
You know,
give me
bacon
lots of fat,
grease,
high fat
lots
content
of fat,
in there.
You know, and it's all wrinkled up
yes.
because it's just, you know, it's all shrunk up.
It's bacon.
It's bacon. Yeah.
I mean, kidding me? It's the greatest
bacon
food
on
in the world.
Anything tastes good.
Well, absolutely.
That version of bacon is not my style.
All kidding aside, as many times I've been warned about, you know, the food, oh, you're not going to like the food. Ryan O'Halloran, I just think Ryan O'Halloran thinks if it's not McDonald's, you're not going to like it, period. You know, I think it's been wonderful, everything we've had so far. So, Warren says we're making her hungry. Well, there you go. All right, let's go to Chris Capello, who's a member of the BCB UK contingent. Got a chance to meet him, and about 120 of his best friends yesterday. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. You guys?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering, like, I was going to ask Jeff, but he wasn't there yesterday. So how did you think the UK fans were compared to the US fans, if you know what I mean? You know, like, did they seem as passionate, as knowledgeable, and, like, me, minus me, out of the equation, obviously?
No, I mean, I thought last year the interactions that I had with all the different, you know, the Union Jacks group and all the other just fans of the NFL, because last year we went to Nike Town and there were members of the 49ers there, so there were some 49ers fans there. There were also just general NFL fans that had other logoed apparel on that weren't the 49ers or the Jaguars, and it was great to meet them, and you could tell that they have a passion for the NFL brand of football. Now, if you tried to draw or some conclusion from the actual game itself last year and how spirited the Jaguar fans here in Europe were or here in UK were in that game, how do you gauge it when
right.
the 49ers came out and on four consecutive possessions scored touchdowns?
Right.
It's kind of hard to say.
Chris is what I would describe as kind of like a super fan. I mean, that's every organization wants 50,000 of those guys, right? But, I mean, look, what blew me away this summer is 6,200 people at a rookie minicamp practice, 4,500 people at a minicamp practice. I mean, just time and again and again. And look, I'm not saying, who knows how many would have showed up at the facility to do it and the ability, the wherewithal.
Yeah, logistically to handle it.
Right. So, you know, but the kind of people you're going to see at an event like this, such as yesterday, are going to be the UK equivalent of the diehards, right, the super fans. And I think you saw that yesterday, but trust me, there are thousands upon thousands of guys just like that and more. I mean, so many guys.
Here's the thing. When the team gets better, wait till you see the fan reaction and spirit then.
Well, you know what? Our photo contest, our latest one on our Facebook page, brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida, is Jaguars Passion. That's a theme. And what you're seeing is people just posting pictures of them in their superfan getup. I mean, and how many there are, whether it's our buddy Bold City Batman or just so many others that are iconic ones that you say, oh yeah, you see that guy on TV, I know that guy, I've seen that guy at the game, I see that guy at every game, I see this guy at every game. And so, look, I thought the folks yesterday were great. I met a bunch of people that were knowledgeable and just very interested and hungry for anything, and the people here yesterday were specifically interested in this football team, you know, and you do get that, like the guy I met on the train yesterday. They're going to be a wide variety of fans. But I went out last night in London wearing a Jaguar cap and a windbreaker and didn't have a single comment. Nobody said a word to me one way or the other, like, hey, you in town for the game, or hey, you know, this. But, you know, that's a few hours, one person. You can't really draw any conclusions.
One thing that really surprised me last year was the London newspapers are very similar to the newspapers that I used to, you know, get at the newsstand when I was in New York. You know, they're folded in half. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not where you open them up four different ways to get them to lay out on a big table.
It's like a big magazine.
Exactly. And last year, I remember when we finally did get to London, you know, every day you'd pick up the newspaper and just out of curiosity to read a newspaper from over here. And, of course, it's just like the New York tabloids. You know, the front page is national news, news related to the country, and then on the back side, it's the sports headline. You know, and so you read from the back to, if you're a sports fan. So you're opening up on the back and soccer, cricket, you know, and all these other sports that they have over here. And then I kept looking for, you know, some kind of daily article on the upcoming, you know, NFL football game. And really there was very few of them. I think there was maybe two that I saw. Now I didn't pick up every newspaper, you know, but at some point with the attendance that these games have had over here and the support that these games have had over here, the newspapers I think are eventually almost going to be forced to cover the NFL. Because of the fan excitement over here and the intense, I mean, when you sell out Wembley Stadium, which is, you know, like 100,000 people, at a snap of a finger, as a culture and as a newspaper, you got to start reacting to that over here. And I don't think they have yet, but they're starting to.
All right, 641-1010. Thanks, Chris, as always, for the call. Michael, back on stateside, joining us here on Jaguars today. Michael, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Great. What's up?
Got two questions. One with Alan Hearns kind of showing glimpses of what he's going to be able to do going forth, looking at next year. Do you see him as one of the starting three going into the season next year? And also, if there is any big splash that they're going to make in free agency, I haven't looked to see who's a free agent, but who would you see or names thrown out there that they might go after?
Well, the one I think that would be probably number one on a team's wish list that has the money to spend and has a positional need for it would be tight end.
Right.
Is
Julius Thomas
with the Denver Broncos, because I mean that's a guy that could possibly be available because of Demaryius Thomas is also his contract is going to be up at the same time. If you'd asked me a few months ago, I might have added the tight end Cameron Jordan to that list.
Jordan Cameron. Yeah, they're the two of them, right?
Jordan Cameron to
three
that list, but now he's had three concussions, you know, and when you're talking about a player in free agency and all of a sudden that concussion issue pops up, you know, for a tight end, now could he still be on that list? Possibly, but the amount of money that you would be willing to pay would certainly drop. But that position I think is one. I think also linebacker might be one. If there's a marquee linebacker, that's a position of need for this football team. Now, the question about Alan Hearns, could he be one of the starting three when they get to that quote-unquote 11 personnel, which 11 personnel is one tight end and one running back. If 20, to give you an example, 21 would be two tight ends, one running back. But an 11 personnel, would he be a starter? It's a great question. You know, Cecil Shorts' contract is up, and Alan Hearns has been probably playing a little bit better than him right now. But is Cecil Shorts completely healthy? I don't know. And he made a comment that we've seen glimpses of Alan Hearns. Well, I think there's been more than glimpses of Alan Hearns. I mean, last week he had, what, seven catches for 112 yards? Let me look at my sheet. Seven for 112, two touchdowns. That's not a glimpse.
Right.
I mean, that's a chunk.
And it's not the first time.
No, and it's not the first time. And he just tied the record for rookie receiving touchdowns in a season with five, tying Matt Jones and Justin Blackmon. Tying Justin Blackmon, who was a top pick in the draft. You know, so the other thing, too, to kind of add to this that you just don't know about, Justin Blackmon.
Like you said, right?
Justin Blackmon. I mean, where is he going to be at next year? You know, supposedly he's getting help. He is a premier talent, contrary to what, you know, some other people may say.
Ryan O'Halloran, we've had this debate on and off the air, so it's no surprise.
And I respect Ryan's opinion, and he does some great stuff in the newspaper. But he's wrong when it comes to Justin Blackmon. Justin Blackmon is an elite talent that has elite body control and has elite hands. The only thing he is missing is elite speed. But he's a great football player. If he is added to this mix and he's healthy, Do you even look at signing Cecil Shorts?
Right. And that's the question. If he is healthy,
maybe
and
not.
You feel like he's beyond his issues.
And we haven't even seen Marquise Lee yet.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, even without the elite speed, I think run after the catch, he just runs so strong.
Fantastic.
You know, and that, so
I've always said this. He's like a cat. I mean, he has cat balance. I hate to say this, but you take a cat and you just throw him up in the air. You know? It's by the tail, and he's spinning around. Somehow the cat lands on his feet. That's Justin Blackmon.
Let's go to Jim up next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey guys. Did the hotel bring you tea since it started at the tea time, started at the time the show started? First of all,
Jim,
that's a good question.
Jim, to answer your question seriously, they actually have a complete tea bar. Here.
There you go.
They have a complete tea bar with teas and coffees and everything. Of course, if you wanted a tea, it was available right from there. But if you asked for a latte, she had to take a cup and leave and go somewhere else, and she would come back with it.
And, of course, as Jeff knows, they don't have any sweet tea up in here.
No, they don't.
Of course.
So. But the one thing that they do have, Jim, if you want a sweet tea, okay, all you have to do is have a little imagination. The one thing that they like to do over here is they actually melt the sugar in water, in hot water. So you can get a tea hot, okay? Put it on ice. Before you put it on ice, though, pour that liquid sugar in there, and you can make your own southern version here in the U.K. of sweet tea.
There you go. South
I'm speaking from experience.
Even though we're in the northern part of England. Jim, what's your question today?
All right, now my Bortles question. You know, it seemed to me like somewhat Jed Fish was protecting Blake a little bit in this game from the standpoint of some of the play calls. My question is Blake doesn't seem to be bothered by these interceptions somewhat, I mean, from a mental standpoint. My question is what you heard Jed Fish a couple times when he threw his picks go, we got to take that play out of the playbook. You know, we're not going to put them in that situation anymore. My question is how much confidence does Blake kind of lose if he loses the confidence of the offensive coordinator as a player? I mean, when your coordinator questions you, to me, that's more detrimental than if you start questioning yourself. Right?
Well, let me to your comment of we have to take that play out of the playbook. When Jed says that, I don't think he's meaning, okay, we need to take that play and not ever call it again. I think what he's meaning by that is we need to take that kind of performance with that play out of the playbook. So, in other words, we need to teach Blake, and he's learned from it, to where that doesn't happen again when that play is called. Now, was he being protective somewhat of Blake Bortles this past week? I think the more accurate way to look at it would be he's trying to protect the team from Blake Bortles a little bit in certain situations. In other words, Blake is still raw. He's still learning. Don't put him in a situation to where he feels the need that he has to force a throw in a certain situation that could end up hurting the team. So I don't think it's trying to protect Blake so much it is trying to allow him to develop at a kind of a planned rate and so that the team still has an opportunity at success on that particular day. I think that's a different way to look at it.
By the way, some guys, you can coach them hard, too. Not everything has to be sunshine and roses. When you screw up, it's okay to have your offensive coordinator question with it more in private than in public, but don't think behind the scenes that everything is like, you know, I don't think he's getting handled with kid gloves.
No, he's not getting handled with kid gloves, but at the same time, I think a lot of it depends on the personality of the player that you're coaching. There's some guys that, you know, okay, well, we don't want to coach him too hard because we might lose him. And Blake's not that kind of a guy. But at the same time, he's the quarterback, and you want him to be able to be confident. So there are always ways that you approach things as far as coaching an individual. No matter if he's got the great personality to take any kind of hard coaching or not, you still approach it in a certain way.
All right. He is Jeff Logman. I'm Mike Dempsey. We are live in the U.K. right now with Jaguars Today. Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks back stateside coming up. We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Also want to get to some of these Twitter questions that have come in for Jeff Logman. So we'll try to squeeze a few of those in as well before we hand things off to XL Primetime today. Live from the United Kingdom, Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Jaguars are in London, and 1010XL is there.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all.
Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, live in the UK. Tony and Lauren back stateside today. The fan feedback spotlight asking you to weigh in with your grade on Blake Bortles' performance this weekend as well as the season as a whole. Tony, we'll start with what the fans had to say, what the listeners had to say, what some of the feedback we got today.
Here's what we got from Paolo. On Sunday, I will give him a C. He looked shaken mentally for the first time on the season, a B+. From Demetrius, C- for the game and for the season. From Stevie at Irish Jaguar, first half, D-, second half, C+, season, a C-. From Pete, we got A, graded on a rookie curve, playing with rookies. Hashtag give the guy a break. Hashtag and an A after B2 rips apart the Cowboys. From Brandon, B- for being flustered in the first half in the pick, but he fought back hard in the second half. From Duval Doom, throws down the field, A++++. Interceptions be damned. He doesn't. F. Hashtag sick of the flat. Hashtag no more 3 yards in a cloud of dust via Facebook on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. From Nicholas, we got Sunday B, season B. He pushes the ball downfield and takes risks. Rather have a guy take risks than check down. Hashtag patience. Hashtag we believe in Blake. From Zachary R, as in rookie. Hashtag what did we expect?
Okay, what do you make of all that there, Jeff?
Well, I think the one guy got it right. I mean, are you grading him based on the other quarterbacks in the league, or are you grading him based on him being a rookie? So, I mean, there's kind of probably two grades to be able to put out there. If you're grading him with the rest of the quarterbacks in the league, I think a lot of the fans got it right, probably C-. If you're comparing him to, you know, the rookie class or rookies in general, I'd probably give him a B-, you know, which is okay. You know, and people got to remember, too, that he was a junior coming out. You know, he still had another year of eligibility left. It was a junior or a redshirt junior, whatever it was.
I mean, he was might have been a redshirt.
Yeah.
I'm positive, but he didn't have another year of eligibility.
Had another year of eligibility. He didn't have a ton of playing experience as far as, you know, being the starter for 4 years at UCF. So, I mean, like I got a lot of patience for him. I love the way that when he has something bad happen, he can bounce right back and throw a big ball at some point in the game. How he tries to push the ball down the field. I love his ability to scramble. There's not a quarterback in the league that has a higher percentage of first downs when he tucks the ball and he runs it than Blake Bortles. He's tough. He shows that he's a leader. His body language is positive. There's a lot of good things. And there's also a lot of things, okay, that make you wonder. Sometimes the ball's fluttering. Sometimes he looks like he's, I don't want to say paralyzed, but mentally he's not sure where he needs to go with the ball with some of the defenses. But, I mean, that's all part of the growth process. But I'm excited about him. You know, the first couple weeks I was like, wow. And then the last 3 weeks I was like, whoa. You know, so, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag.
That's what you're going to get sometimes with a rookie. I do think, though, you look at the final numbers. He got away with some this week.
No doubt.
No question.
No doubt.
He threw some off the DB's hands this week.
You know, and something to kind of keep an eye on, you know, he hurt that left-hand wrist, and obviously that's not his throwing hand. But how will that affect him going forward? You know, it's something to keep an eye on. You know, the injury report doesn't come out until tomorrow, so we're going to know more about it at that point. But, you know, he clearly had something going on in that game with his left hand, left wrist. And we'll have to kind of see more on that. And one area that we haven't really covered that I want to throw it out just because, you know, throughout the year we've been kind of hard on him, Toby Gerhart. Toby Gerhart had some pop this past week. And that's a really positive sign for this football team with the emergence of Denard. And then seeing Toby Gerhart starting to get back to the type of player that we expected to see from the onset, that's a good thing.
We noticed it enough in the first half. We talked about it at halftime and in the brief time JP and I were on after the game that he really stood out noticeably. When the ball got in his hands, he looked a lot more explosive than we've seen him at any point this year. We got to go through these quickly, so just give me a quick impression on some of these questions. This one refers to Gus's comments to you after the game. This is from at Drum Meter. He said, can you elaborate on Gus saying regarding special teams, they had something to build from? I guess Drum Meter is saying, got the block punts, we've had the block field. I thought he was specifically referencing the kickoff returns.
Right.
Was that the
yeah,
case?
I think that's what he was talking about, because when he made that comment, I kind of went, is he talking about the special teams in general?
Right, because that's not the
case. Two areas that have been pretty good, the kick return and the field goal block. They're very close to blocking a field goal. Send Eric Marks and Red Bryant are doing a really good job on field goal block. I would not be surprised if they get a block in the next couple games.
All right. Also, this one from at Duval_Doom on Twitter. Why does it seem like saying Hearns bailed out Blake is bad? Shouldn't receivers do that?
Absolutely. You know, when it's calculated. You know, the first touchdown, Allen Hurns bailed him out, calculated throw, it's one-on-one, make the throw. The second touchdown that Allen Hurns, he bails him out, yes. Do you make that throw as a quarterback? Absolutely not.
So sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's good in the context of an acceptable risk, and other times he bailed him out
exactly.
of a bad play. All right, so the good with the bad. This one from at Belford93, Robert E. Belford on Twitter said, listening on the radio at work, can you ask Jeff how Jokel is playing, please?
I thought he got better this past game. He had one bad snap at the end of the ball game where he got put on his rear end by a player that, in my opinion, is not a great player, and that was Wallace Gilberry. But overall, I thought he played very well, and for the first game that he played after having a concussion, you know, you're always a little worried how physical, how aggressive a guy will be, and I thought he was good in both categories. So a good return, and I think another step in progress for him.
Let's see. Who is the better keeper in a standard league, Hilmer or Jeffrey? I think that's only for me.
We'll
skip that one. At Kayak Gator said, any chance you have firsthand knowledge of the cat-tossing analogy that you used earlier? No comment.
I've never done it.
You've maybe seen it done? Heard of it done?
Yeah.
All right. The first time we
made I saw something like that on YouTube.
And also several pleas for me to please not even attempt to do a British accent. The phrase.
I thought yours was pretty good.
Well, here's the phrase. Well, Donna looked it up last year. Okay. She just Googled like how to speak in a British accent. The phrase that they suggested.
All you gotta do is watch that movie a lot.
Which one?
The one with
the British accent people.
The guy that drives a little sports car and's got the big hairy chest and.
Oh, Dudley Moore, Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Yeah, watch that a bunch of times.
I just said Dudley Moore. What am I talking about? I knew Austin Powers. Mike Myers.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the phrase to get you into your British accent is, are there any birds? Okay, try that, and you just try to speak that in a British accent. Apparently, that's the one that.
If I did, it would sound like a southern rube trying to use a British accent.
Are there any birds, please, in a British accent?
Are there any birds?
Stop it! Come on, one try, college try. Come on, Virginia Cavalier.
Give me the phrase one more time.
Are there any birds?
Are there any birds?
Save that, please. Mark the tape. I thought that was okay. That was passable.
Or in my North Florida, Southern Georgia accent, are there any birds?
Y'all.
Y'all.
All right. Rest of the week for you. First, let's start with programming-wise. What do you have? What can folks
Can I
catch
stick
you on?
With East Coast time?
Yes, absolutely.
We've got Jaguars Thursday. We start that off with the Gus Bradley Show at 6 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock, it's just Jaguars Thursday with me, Baselli, J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars.com. We have Film Room Friday coming up, some interesting stuff there. That's always must-watch. And then we have the Outdoor Show Without Me on Saturday morning here on 1010XL. And then on Sunday, we have the pregame show with me and Sam Kavaris and Tony Baselli, and then obviously the pregame radio and the broadcast. Am I missing anything? I think I got it.
Sounded pretty comprehensive. I would say clearly the question for Saturday for the Outdoor
Show.
Yes.
And we have postgame with the interview with the head coach, and then after that we go live live on Jaguars.com. It's Jaguars Live presented by Everbank for the postgame report.
After the game.
After the game. I finish up in the locker room with the coach and the players, go right out there and we knock it out, and we always have Tony Baselli on first, and then after that we get players and coaches live.
So tons of stuff. I think we'll be asking your compatriots on the Outdoor Show, are there any birds when it comes to hunting
season?
Well,
that's a proper question for springtime.
All right. Well, that now I know.
For Saturday, it's, are there any bucks? And you got to tune in on Saturday because Kevin Favor has a story about a buck that, folks, you're not going to believe. I've already gotten the pictures and everything else, and it is fantastic. Are there any bucks?
I love it. That's the new name of the Outdoor Show, at least for this week. Jeff Logman, tremendous work. What are you going to do in London? Are you going to see anything that you didn't get a chance to see last year?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm between appearances, you know, with the NFL and the Jaguars. I'm looking forward to seeing Shad's new yacht, the Kismet.
Nice.
Which there's a party on Saturday night.
Tom, you get that invite? I didn't get that one either.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's an NFL sponsors party. And from what I understand, the new yacht, which, I mean, everybody's probably seen his old one.
Yeah, it's such a tiny little thing.
Which he sold, and now he has a new one that's been being built for quite some time. And this is the first time that a lot of people are going to get to see it. And I know he's very excited about it, as he should be. And Jerry Jones is going to be jealous.
Nice. Well, that's not a bad thing.
Jerry
will
be there.
He's jealous of the scoreboards already.
Yeah.
And he's going to be jealous of that yacht. All right. Well, Jeff, I'll see you all throughout the week and catch Loggeman on all those times. Remember, are there any bucks?
There you go.
We'll find out Saturday morning. All right. We'll stick around.